Our number is down this morning. We have several who are sick and having some difficulties. So they're not here, and a couple are out of town, and there'll be some others. Maybe we'll have some more come in. Yep, getting ready to come in. So anyway, we're not going to have, this being the first sermon of the new year, I'm not going to talk about resolutions. Because honestly, I have never kept a resolution in my life. And I've been trying to do it for many years. The longest I think I ever did it was 5 days. That was about as long as I ever did. So anyway, I'm not going to talk about that. But I'm going to talk about something very serious this morning, and it does affect all of us. And it's so very important for us because we want to talk about making faith our own. And a lot of times, see, a lot of people, they just have a faith based on what someone told them or maybe what they saw their parents do. And sometimes they repeated what their parents had said without ever really believing it. And so we know that's the case. So it's a common problem for Christians to accept things as true without really testing them. And that is to make them part of their own faith. And we're told to test our faith, to see if we're in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Now, this lesson is necessary because too many people are leaving the Church of Christ for man-made denominations or just leaving, period. And you wonder, well, why is that? Because we have the truth. We teach the truth. And why are they leaving? Because more are becoming involved with new movements. I mean, they even if in churches they call themselves a Church of Christ. I mean, as Avery and I were just talking a few minutes ago, I mean, we used to talk about the difference between the Church of Christ and the denominations. Now we have to sit down and talk about the differences between Churches of Christ. Amen. And how are you going to know which one is right? Well, the scriptures give us the answer. And so that's where we need to focus. And that's what we try and do. We're going to let the Bible speak in this regard. And it is not uncommon to hear some make comments that, well, I used to believe this, but I was never challenged to test it. And some might say that, and that's very true. There's some things people say their whole life and never really know why they're saying it. I mean, certain phrases that we use. Sometimes a lot of people, they hear a prayer, they use a certain phrase, and without ever investigating, is this really in accordance with what God wants? Then all of a sudden they realize, I mean, do I really believe this or not? And some people do not do it. And these people who do not do it are the ones who really do not study their Bibles to learn what God has to say about the matter. I mean, that's where we need to put our focus, is on God. And you might think that the problem is one that is more prevalent among young people, but we find more adults making drastic changes because they were never really grounded in the faith. We have some people who have been going to church for maybe 20, 30, 40 years, and they still don't know what their faith is all about. And they've really never examined it and tested themselves to see what it is. And the real tragedy comes when people accept something else just because it is different. And people want that. People want change. Well, they say they want change. But in the workplace, you try and implement change, what happens? You get resistance. I mean, people don't want to change. They're used to doing things a certain way. They don't want to make changes. I mean, there's a lot of people, when I was coming up, the computer started coming out. I don't want to mess with no computer. I don't even want to know how to turn it on. And so, I mean, there were those type of people that never messed with computers. Now, some of us, we can't get through our day without messing with a computer and working on a computer, things like that. And so some people just want things because it's different. And a lot of people in the realm of religion, as we kind of talked in class this morning, well, I mean, it's getting kind of boring around here. I'll just go somewhere else and find something that's more to my liking. And so that's what they do. But there still are unwilling to have the openness to have that new belief tested as well. They want to go along. I mean, Ephesians 4 talks about this, talking about these are like those driven by the winds. I mean, the winds of doctrine. I mean, they just believe whatever comes along. Just because maybe a preacher said it, just because maybe somebody taught it, and it sounded good. I mean, that's what a lot of people do. But we're told in 1 John 4 and verse 1, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." There's two points here. First of all, we've got to examine to make sure everything we believe is according to what God has given us in His Word. That is very important. We need to do that. But we also are warned that there's many false prophets out there, many false teachers that teach error. That's why there's literally thousands upon thousands of different denominations out there, all teaching different doctrines, but yet all claiming to be part of Christ. And that is not possible. It is not possible to be part of Christ if you're not teaching what Christ taught. I mean, just that plain and simple. All right, so there is only one kind of heart that will find God's truth and be saved. And people don't have this type of heart. It's an open heart. It's a willing heart. It's a heart that wants to do what God wants done. John 3:21, "But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." Now the word manifested means made known. So that our deeds are made known because God told us to do it. That's what it means, been wrought in God. God told us to do it. So we do these things that God has told us to do. People look and they say, yes, those are good works. And we do it because God told us to do it. Not because we're good people, not because we've come up with our own type of righteousness. But God said, this is what I want. And that's what we do. See, Jesus challenged the Jews to test themselves to find the truth. But yet they wouldn't do it. You know, John 8:32, he said, "You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." But we find out that it's not there. John 7:17, "If any man is willing to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself." And so we should use this test. Even Jesus was speaking, anybody who wants to know the truth, you're going to know that what I'm speaking is the truth. You've got to know that it comes from God. Or if I'm just some man making this stuff up. And of course, some people kind of figured out, well, he's just a man making this stuff up. And so it really doesn't come from God. And that's why a lot of people today ignore what Jesus said. Because they come up with this idea, well, it didn't come from God, Jesus made it up. But Jesus also told us, John 12:48, he didn't speak on his own accord, but he spoke only what the Father told him to say. Amen. And so that's why we have the Word of God that we can put our trust and our confidence in to provide the salvation that God wants us to have. All right. See, truth has not changed, nor the way to find the truth has not changed. People are always trying to come up with different innovations. They want to, like the cheat sheets, the help sheets. You know, they had some books out, you know, Computers for Dummies years ago. Then they started coming out with the Bible for Dummies. In other words, just the simple basics. What's the least I can do and still go to heaven? You know, we had a sermon about that a few months back. And if you're asking that question, what's the least I can do and still make it to heaven, you're not going to make it to heaven. I mean, there's just no other way of saying it. It's not going to happen. And so you have to be willing to search for God with your whole heart. People who don't want to search for God with their whole heart, they're not going to find God. And God's not going to allow them to find Him either. So truth is in the same place it has always been. John 17:17, Jesus praying, "Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth." The Word of God is truth. And that's what we need to put our basis of our faith in. Now, in the denominational world, truth is whatever they make it to be, whatever they say it is. I mean, they don't follow the Bible. They basically downplay the Bible and make people question the Bible, but do what we say. Oh, yeah, you got to do what we say, but don't check it out for yourself. See, Satan also has deceitfully placed deadly error before Christians for centuries and called it truth. Yeah, Satan has called his words truth. He, however, does not want it to be tested at all. Just take what I say. That's it. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to do these things, and you can still be saved. And you know what? A lot of people like to hear that. And so they're going to accept that type of teaching. But don't check it out. Don't check out your Bible, because the Bible tells you otherwise. See, in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 14 and 15, he talks about Satan, and no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. I mean, let's face it, if they're not doing what God wants them to do, they're going to have to answer for it, and their end will be that eternal destruction. So it is crucial that each one be grounded in the truth of God. And that's what he wants us to do. That's what we need to focus on. If you by any chance decide to make a New Year's resolution, just say, I'm going to learn and read more of the Bible. I mean, read more of it every day. Read it all the time. I mean, it's crucial that you know what's in the Bible, because when someone comes along teaching you something that's not in the Bible, you'll know, well, that's error. If you don't know what's in the Bible, you're going to take whatever anybody tells you, because you're not going to know any better. You're going to think, well, they must know what they're talking about. Okay. See Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. He talks about these. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. Now we talk about the trickery of men. In other words, these people say, you don't have to do what the Bible says. You can still go to heaven. Well, that is deceitfulness. Now, whether they're doing it intentionally, which I really don't think they are, but what they're doing is because Satan has deceived them into believing this stuff, and that's why they teach it. And it is false. And Satan is very happy about that, because that means people who follow false doctrine are not going to heaven. And if there's anything you need to know about Satan, is he does not want you to go to heaven. If you don't know anything else about him, just know that. He doesn't want you to find the truth and obey the truth. All right. So how to know when you have made faith your own? Well, there's several ways we can do it. And one way is it can be defended. If you're willing to stand up and defend what you believe, then that faith belongs to you. If this is what your parents believed and you're not really sure about it, you're not going to defend it. There's no way you're going to do that. See, in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. In Jude 3, beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. To stand up and defend what we believe, what we practice, what we teach. I mean, that's one of the signs that the faith really belongs to us. If you're not willing to do that, then you don't have that type of faith. You don't have a faith that you believe in. And so, I mean, this ought to be common sense, but that's the way it is. I mean, we know a lot of people, they avoid talking to their friends about the Bible. Why? Well, they're going to make fun of me, or they're going to start asking questions that I don't know the answer to. And so for a lot of people, it's just better just to keep your mouth shut and don't tell anybody you're a Christian. Don't tell anybody you go to church, because they're going to make fun of you and stuff like that. And we certainly don't want that to happen, now do we? Well, that's the way some people act and behave. So, in that isolation, you may never be tested. If you're that way, if you keep yourself quiet, you don't tell people you go to church, I mean, you're never going to be tested. I mean, all throughout my career of working, I worked with hundreds of people, and every now and then, I go to church, and my jaw just drops. You're kidding me. I mean, the way they behave, the way they talk, the things they talk about, they go to church? I mean, it's just that way. And sometimes I've even heard people say, I go to the Church of Christ. And that really caught me by surprise, because their language is no different than anybody else out there. And their behavior was no different. And so, anyway. And when we are asked questions, you know what? We're going to benefit, because we have to go to the Bible for answers. We should never try and answer questions as if, okay, this is my thought, this is my opinion. When we're answering Bible questions, here's what the Bible says on the matter. And take them to the Bible. You know, we were talking in class this morning that denominational people, they may, well, I'm not really sure about that. And all we have to say is, will you open up your Bible and study with me on this matter? And chances are they're just going to say no. And why is that? Because they don't need to. They've been deceived. They're thinking that everything's okay. I'm just fine with God. And that's the way they feel about it. When we share the gospel with others, we're going to be benefited also. Yes, they need the gospel, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. We know that's the case. But when we're sharing the gospel and we're able to convert someone to Christ, we're going to benefit from that. Our faith is going to be picked up. Our efforts are going to be even magnified, because, hey, we got one to obey the truth. Let's see if we can find somebody else. So there's a motivational thing there. The happiness we experience when we help someone find the truth. I mean, so, yeah, we benefit when we teach the gospel and share the gospel with others. Whether they obey or not, we're still benefiting. Why? Because in order for us to have the courage to start talking about the gospel, we've got to go through and study the core elements of the gospel. We've got to know what they are. We've got to learn a few simple verses that really can explain God's plan of salvation in a very simple way. So guess what? We're going to learn those passages of Scripture. And we're going to be able to teach people these things. And then, as we add these things to our lives, we're going to benefit from these things. And it's going to help us. And we base our lives upon it. We, as Christians, have a purpose in this life. And it's not just to go out and make money and then retire on a nice income. Our purpose in life is to share the message of God. So that's what we need to base our lives upon, not upon our careers or our families or anything like that. Base our lives on what God wants us to do. 2 Corinthians 1:24, not that we lord it over your faith, but are workers with you for your joy. For in your faith you are standing firm. I mean, when he tells the Corinthians that when you're in your faith, you're standing firm, he says, you've got your heads on straight. You're doing those things God wants you to do, and he's commending them for it. He's telling them, you're doing a good job. And so we need to get to that point where if God was to speak to us, or an apostle of God was to speak to us, they'd say, you're doing a good job. And that's what we're trying to accomplish. See, 1 John 5:4, For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith overcomes this world. Our faith is stronger than what this world has to offer. You know, we have the passages, fret not, do not fear. Why? We're supposed to put our trust in God. The very middle verses of the Bible says it's better to trust in God than in man. And so that's where we need to go. That's where we need to develop ourselves. And so this is the victory. When we have faith, it gives us a victory. All right. It is the wisdom and the warnings from God's word that blesses us. I mean, when we study God's word, when we learn God's word, we have a blessing there. And so we benefit from it. But we only benefit from it is if we apply it. If we just read about it, then that's one thing. You know, James 1:25 or 22 says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. So yes, as long as we do it. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. No, they're not. The only people who think that God's commandments are burdensome are those who don't want to do it. Right? It's just that plain and simple. You don't want to do God's commands? Well, they're burdensome. And some people do it, and basically they stay in misery because they would much rather be doing something different. See, when others misrepresent what we stand for as traditional or blindly following Church of Christ tradition or opinions, I mean, we know better. We know what the church teaches. We know what the truth is. And we know better than to take something like that. You know, that I've been said many times, you're just blindly following Church of Christ tradition. Really? Well, let's go to the Bible and see what the Bible says about it. And question, is this just Church of Christ tradition, or is this what God's word says? And so, yeah, we have to defend the faith sometimes. Because when people start throwing words around like that, it's obvious they don't want to do what God said. They want to do their own thing. And so when we're telling them, okay, what you're doing is wrong, they don't like being told that. So they're going to come back with some sort of retort along this line. When it comes to understanding our faith, we will stand for it. Stand up for our faith. We believe it so strongly, we will stand up for it. We will defend it. And 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Yeah, stand firm in the faith. Why? Because people are going to come and try and challenge it. See, people are going to try and attempt to change it. And no, we know what the Bible says, and that's where our faith is. And that's what we're going to do. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. That's right. See, some of the strongest attacks will come because you will not have fellowship with those who have gone beyond the scriptures. You know, Paul warned people about going beyond the scriptures. In other words, going beyond what God said. In other words, adding human opinion to it. You know, 1 Corinthians 4:6 is that passage there. And so, Ephesians 5:11 says, and do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. You know, some people don't go this far. You know, they go and they see somebody doing something they shouldn't be doing. Well, we'll just go somewhere else. They won't speak up about it. They won't talk about it. When someone's doing something unscriptural, it's just, I'm just not going to mess with them. That's what they want to do. They're going to have to answer for it. And then just go our way. But if we're concerned about people's souls, we really should be talking to them about, this is what the Bible says, and you're doing something different. So if you're doing something not according to the Bible, God calls it an unfruitful deeds of darkness. So we're supposed to expose those. You know, even a non-Christian knows that if they could get someone who claimed to be a Christian to go along with them in whatever they think and whatever they do, that these people really had no convictions. They were just all talk. Now, like I said many times, I've met a lot of people over the years. Their talk is one thing, but their actions is something else. You know, that's just like Titus 1:16. They claim to know God, but their deeds deny Him. Our faith, when we know it's our faith, it becomes a part of us. That's who we are. That's what we are. That's what we do. You know, it's like that Geico commercial. That's what they do. And yes, as Christians, what we are supposed to do, share the gospel message, live an exemplary life among those around us, and to be ready to teach as we have the opportunity and invite people to share the blessings that God has given to us. I mean, that becomes a part of us. That's who we are. 2 Corinthians 4:13-14, but having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore also we speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. Those who follow the faith, the true faith that comes from God that we read about in the scriptures, when we're raised up on that last day, he talks about that. Yes, we're going to be glorified with him. Colossians 3 and verse 4 tells us that. And we're going to be raised up with Jesus. I mean, we're going to be glorified when this world is over. It's not going to happen before that. But if we remain faithful, we will be with him. Now, why do some people have problems developing their personal faith? Well, that's a valid question we need to address for a moment. Because of the natural doubts, it goes from being a child to being an adult. Well, yeah, I mean, as children grow up, they're told certain things. They're told about the Easter Bunny. They're told about Santa Claus. They're told about all this other stuff. And they get up and, what? There's no such thing as an Easter Bunny. There's no bunny goes around laying eggs. And nature tells you that. That doesn't happen. So where'd this stuff come from? What did my parents tell me? They lied to me. And then here they turn around and tell me I need to go to church because that's where I need to be. Are they telling me a lie also when it comes to that? How can I trust them to tell me the truth in everything when they won't tell me the truth in everything? I mean, that's the way it is. Sometimes as a child, we believe certain things because our parents taught us. Oh, there is a God. Well, I was taught from a young age, say your nightly prayers, say prayers at the when you come to sit around the table to eat. Yes, there is a God. And God likes certain behaviors, and he doesn't like certain behaviors. He doesn't like certain actions. Jesus is the Son of God. I mean, we're taught these things, and even some have been taught the Church of Christ is the only right church. Well, even now, we have to kind of put a disclaimer there. Not every Church of Christ is the right church. I mean, they some of them have digressed from the truth and apostatized from the faith. And they have made themselves no different than the denominations out there. And so that's why it's important to make sure we understand what the truth is, because error will only be tolerated if there is ignorance. See, it is not uncommon when one is faced with others who have a different belief to conclude that everyone is influenced by their upbringing and there is no absolute truth. In other words, your parents lied to you about Santa Claus. How can you trust them about God? I mean, that's almost, you can say, that's a fair question. And so we are influenced by our upbringing. My mama taught me this. My daddy taught me that. There are certain things that I was taught, and some of those qualities are good that, yeah, we want to hang on to them because they're good qualities. But we have that upbringing. It is possible to have a genuine faith given by godly parents, and it's also possible, also wrong views given by parents. Parents might have been deceived in their understanding of what God's all about. And so if they're following along with the doctrines and precepts of men, they're going to tell you, oh, it doesn't matter what the Bible says. Here's what our pastor says. Here's what what they tell us. Here's what we believe. See, 2 Timothy 1:5, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I am sure that it is in you as well." You know, these two women had portrayed themselves as godly women, always trying to follow the word of God to the best of their ability. And Paul is telling Timothy, you know what? I think you have that same type of faith. You're willing to put your trust in God and not what some man tells you. See, if truth is the issue, then what is right can be found. And yes, it can be found if you look in the right place. A lot of people are searching for truth, but they're looking for it in the wrong places. You know, with the New Age movement, they think they can find it through transcendental meditation. Maybe getting high on some drugs or something might let them experience God or something. No. The truth is out there. It can be found. And it is available to everyone. Most people don't follow the truth, though. See, 2 Timothy 2:15, "Be diligent, present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth." That's what the scripture says. The Bible is the word of truth, and that's what we need to be able to handle it accurately and properly. Why? Because if we don't follow the word of God, error is going to come in. You know, sometimes because of the guilt associated with doubts. Yeah, I mean, we talk about doubts. We had a sermon not too long ago about the cure for doubt. And it's basically gets down to, do we really trust God or not? And so sometimes we have doubts and we feel guilty about it. But I say it's a healthy thing. Spiritually speaking, doubts are what, well, let me go in there. Let me do these things. Years ago, I got into a discussion on the internet with somebody, and he called me a parrot. In other words, just repeat what you've heard. And as I started thinking about what he said, I you know what? That's right. So what did I do? I got busy and started studying a lot harder and did a lot of research on it. And guess what? What my parents and what my preachers in the past had taught me, well, that is in the Word of God, so that's fine. All of a sudden, that faith became mine. It wasn't my parents' faith. It wasn't my preacher's faith. It was my faith because I studied it for myself. And so, we may reinforce this guilt by our impatience. You know, sometimes we do this. I mean, we look at some people and say, well, they've been in church for years and they should know this by now. You know, that's what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 5. Said, by this time you ought to be teachers, but you need to be taught again. You know, we have members like that. We have members, they've been to church for 20, 30, 40 years. And they're going to come up and make a statement, well, I wish I knew as much Bible as you know. My response has always been, then open the book and start reading it. Open the book and start studying it. That's the only way you're going to learn that. And so if someone tells me that, well, you got me to start reading my Bible more, I mean, I feel good about that. I feel that's a success. I mean, so getting people to do that. See, the Pharisees used pride and intimidation to line others up with them. He talked about anybody who confessed the name of Jesus will be put out of the synagogue. See, the synagogue was a very important facet in the life of the Jew. And, I mean, it was just something that they all liked and they all did, and they didn't want to be put out. I mean, but they had a question. Okay, you know, like the parents of the blind man who was healed. And they said, well, he's old enough. Ask him yourself. We're not going to tell you. We know he sees now, but we're not going to tell you how it happened, because they were afraid. If they announced, well, Jesus, he healed my son, guess what? You're out of here. We're not going to let you be a part of us anymore. And, of course, rejection like that is too hard for some people to take. And so that's what they use. They use pride and intimidation to line the others up with them. And sometimes our faith is weak if we know far less than we think. Sometimes we just learn so much and, well, that's good enough. You know, maybe if you were a babe in Christ, that would be good enough. But you've been around long enough, you should no longer be a babe in Christ. You should be more mature and be able to discern right from wrong. See, it's high time for us to be honest and let our guilt lead us to seek for the truth. So that's what we need to do. We do not need to fear questions either. I mean, we should not have to fear questions. I mean, there's a way to respond. There's always a proper way to respond. Yes, well, let's open up our Bible and read this passage. If you don't know what that passage is, then you can get with somebody who does know. And they will be glad to assist you in that effort. See, our problem is that we have never learned to trust God. That's what it gets down to. That's where all these doubts come from. We just never learned to put our trust in God. And that's it. I mean, that's the first step in coming to know anything else. To know God. I mean, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. I mean, that's Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. See, in Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11, 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And so that's right. Most people are not seeking God, so he's not going to reward them. That wouldn't be very fair, would it? I mean, here, we try to be faithful Christians our whole life, and someone who's not even trying, they're going to get the same reward? We might start thinking, well, that's not very fair. I mean, it would be nice if people could get that same reward, and that's the attitude we should have, but no. He is a rewarder of those who seek him. People who aren't seeking God, he's not going to reward them. See, many have sought out answers to issues before ever yielding their hearts to God. And some people do that. They're always asking questions. I got to find this out. They're researching. And I got to think about this. I mean, when you present something, here's what the Word of God says. Well, I got to think about that. Then they go away. And you may never hear from them again. I mean, that's the way some people are. See, 1 Corinthians 8, 1 through 3 says, now concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we have all knowledge. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. If anyone supposes that he knows anything, he is not yet known as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by him. See, this idea of knowledge makes arrogant. And you know what? If someone has a knowledge of the truth and they speak it, those who don't want the truth are going to perceive that as arrogance. I mean, that's what they're going to do. Oh, you're just an arrogant person. Well, here's what the Bible says, and this is what I know the Bible says, and here's what it says. And yeah, I mean, so if they want to call me arrogant for teaching the truth, so be it. I mean, that's going to happen. And yeah, you know these know-it-alls out there? There's some people out there think they know it all. The only people they really offend are those who think they know it all too. And so that's the way things are. So what does it mean to trust God? And put our faith in him. That's what it's talking about. All right, a few things we want to remember while making faith our own. Avoid the emotional response to run and hide. Yes, we want to avoid that. But also, emotional responses can get us into trouble also when we rely upon emotions and feelings rather than the Word of God. And that's something else we need to watch out for. And some, when they decide what is right, will often run and hide from others who may have a different view. They know their friends don't really believe in God, so I'm not going to tell my friends that I believe in God, because you want to feel that type of acceptance from your friends. And they're going to start picking on you, making fun of you, may not even want to be around you anymore if you tell them you go to church now or something like that. See, remember that truth can withstand to be examined. Why should you refuse to discuss it? If you're teaching the truth, there's no reason to refrain from teaching the truth, because here, what we can do, here's what the scripture says. Speak where the Bible speaks and silent where it is silent. See, the false teacher will actively work to subvert your faith and then cut you off from those who may disagree with him. In other words, he says, well, what your elders, what your preacher, what your parents taught you is not true. You just don't need to hang around them anymore. I mean, that's what they're going to do. They're going to try and keep us away, keep anyone away from those who would speak the truth. And you know what? Satan is pleased with that kind of faith. If that's the way we are, Satan is very pleased with that, because he already knows he has you. See, Galatians 4, 16 and 17, Paul wrote, "Have I therefore become your enemy by telling you the truth? They eagerly seek you, not commendably, but they wish to shut you out in order that you may seek them." I mean, get them away from those who teach the truth and they'll listen to me. That's how most false teachers basically behave. Now, whether they're sincere in what they're teaching, a lot of them probably are. A lot of them, you cannot be effective if you didn't believe in it. And so they're teaching these things, but it is error. Yes, they may be sincere on it, but it's still wrong. And that's not going to get anybody to heaven just because you're sincere. See, there's two ways to get yourself into error. One is to blindly accept everything another person tells you without checking it out, and to blindly set aside everything you've learned. Why? Because, well, I have doubts. And then you just don't do anything about what the Bible says. And be careful not to let pride overtake you. If you think you are the first to discover new truths, and that is everyone else in the church is blind, there is something wrong. I've dealt with a lot of people in the past who basically, your understanding has always been skewed by tradition. I mean, we learned this. I mean, here's something new. This is a new understanding of it. Well, anytime someone has that, there's a problem. The old saying goes, if it's new, it's not true. And that is the truth. If it's new, it's not true. We need to learn patience with ourselves and with others. Yes, it takes time sometimes. Some people take longer to come to an understanding than others do. So yes, we need patience. In James 5, 9 through 11, "Do not complain, brethren, against one another, that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful." If you're complaining about the church, stop it. I mean, look at what the prophets, look what the people in the Old Testament had to endure and go through. Look what Jesus had to endure and go through, and he enjoyed doing it. You know, it says there in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, he enjoyed it. He despised the shame, and he endured the cross. Do not ever flee from the struggle for the truth. The truth is there. You have it in your possession. It's the Word of God. Don't ever struggle. Don't ever run away from struggling to find the truth. Yes, there's questions. There's people teaching error out there, and you're listening to two different stories. Now, which one's right? Well, the answer is found in the Word of God. The Word of God is the truth. See, Romans 12:1-2, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. See, the struggle for truth is a daily one. One we have to work on every day, not just once a week on Sunday. No, this is something we have to do on a daily basis. If for no other reason than the danger of my heart becoming corrupted, and I then become self-deceived. That's what I have to look out for. And I've got to prepare myself not to allow that to happen. And so I need the wisdom to find godly counsel. Sometimes our brethren can offer that type of counsel to us. And sometimes maybe it's the preacher that does that type of counseling that we need. See, Proverbs 24:5-6, a wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power, for by wise guidance you will wage war, and in abundance of counselors there is victory. And really, this does not mean that you follow anyone blindly. I pray to God for wisdom and serve him with the knowledge that you have. James 1:5-6 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Always serve God vigorously while seeking his will. And seeking his will is done by studying the Word of God. It is folly to sit and study and do nothing else. Like I said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. James 1:22-25. And wisdom takes time. We ask God, he'll supply us wisdom, but what do we do with it? We got to put it into action. And there are great truths that you keep learning throughout life. This is a lifelong endeavor, and we will always have those things. See, Ephesians 3:16-19 says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. I mean, you look at that language. We can be filled up with the fullness of the knowledge of God. I mean, that's something that we really need to work on. See, what kind of faith do you have? I mean, that's a question. If less than it should be, are you willing to study more to learn what your faith should be? If you don't have that great of faith, then you need to make that determination. You are going to learn more about what God teaches. You can never have too much faith. You can have faith, you can study, and you can learn as much as you can. You can never have too much. I mean, there should always be something. We should never be satisfied with our current level of faith. I must improve my faith. And so we must increase our faith all the time. That's why we study, to show ourselves approved. And that's why we constantly, like the psalmist said, teach me thy way, O Lord. And so that's what we should be doing. So the question now is your faith your own, or is it just something you inherited from your parents, or just what you've been exposed to, maybe from the preacher or something? Do you really have your own faith? You have to ask yourself that question. That's our lesson for this morning. It's a little bit longer than normal, but one that I think is important. We all need to know that our faith is mine. My trust in God is what I have developed that I've been working on for many years. Some of you feel the same way. Some of you maybe have not been developing your faith the way you should have, and hopefully you realize, I need to improve my faith, make it stronger. And when you have more faith in God, there's less you have to worry about that this world has to throw your way. So think about those things. That's our lesson for today. And if anyone is subject to the invitation to become a child of God, to be a Christian, to get yourself right with God once again, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.